Thanks again, Pastor Tom, and the leadership of this church for the privilege to be with you this weekend. I've been here since, actually my wife and I were here Friday night, and then I was here yesterday afternoon and last night, and then this afternoon we round up this mission weekend. And I just want to say thanks to all your support for missionaries around the world. It was a privilege to join in praying for the missionaries that are supported by this church yesterday night. I think that was just really wonderful. Thank you for all you are doing already to support the work of the Lord around the world. And I believe that the mission of God is the mission of His church. And that's actually where we're going to focus this morning. The theme that we have been looking at is from every tribe, language, people, and nation. And that theme comes from the worship crowd that the Lord gave John a glimpse of in the book of Revelation when he saw around the throne of God in Revelation 5:9 this crowd, unnumbered crowd, just multitudes. And he said they're from every language, every tribe, every people and nation worshiping around the throne of God. Incidentally, one of the songs we sang this morning actually borrowed a phrase from that particular verse. You are worthy, the Lamb of God. You are worthy. You are worthy to take the book and to open it, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every nation and tribe and language and people, and you shall reign over them forever. So, the worthy Lamb of God is the one that this session is focused on. The one who invites us to the worship, the great worship around the throne. And so from every tribe and language and people and nation, we know that is the heart of our God. On Friday night, we looked at this from the point of view of the mission of God. God's mission. Mission does not belong to us. Mission belongs to God. God had been on mission, not from the book of Matthew, but from the fall of man. Right from the fall, God said to the woman, He said, your seed will crush the head of the serpent. Your seed, not your seeds. Your seed will crush the head of the serpent. And God promised Abraham three times in the book of Genesis. God said to Abraham, through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That Abraham's covenant and Abraham's promise was not just for the people of Israel. It was for all nations of the earth. He was a God who has a heart for the nations of the earth. A God who wants all nations to come and worship Him. And last night, we looked at God's people. Because God has chosen, divinely chosen, that He will do His work through His people. He will make Himself known to this world that He seeks to redeem through His people. He will walk through His own people. God could have done it in other ways. He chose to send His only begotten Son, who died on the cross and rose again, shed His blood so that we could be redeemed. And then He chose that we will be the one to take this light of the gospel to the rest of the world. And Jesus said, we are the light of the world. God chose that His own people will be the bearer of the light of the gospel to the rest of the world. And this morning, we are looking at God's world. The world to which He wants to send His own people. The world that He seeks to redeem. How has God started that work in His church, in His timing, as recorded for us in His book? And I'm just going to read as an open from the book of Acts chapter 15. I'm just going to read the first four verses of the book of Acts chapter 15. We'll look at a bit of Acts 11 to give context to 13. But I'm just going to read briefly because of our time. I won't read the whole of the passages in 11, but we'll reference it, so that I'll read from 13. From Acts 13, I will read from 1 to 4. Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, a man named who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the privilege to gather to share in your word. We thank you for the fellowship that we share. I ask, Lord, that you will bless our hearts from your words this morning. Speak to us by yourself. Lord, you know the needs of each one of us. I just pray that your word will meet those needs this morning. You have sent us to your world. Help us to understand how you are calling each one of us to be a part of that which you are doing in the world. Thank you, Lord, for your grace to us. We bless our time together now. In Jesus' name, amen. I titled this God's World, Commissions to Make Disciples from Every Tribe, Language, People, and Nation. In the book of Acts chapter 13, we saw the very first church commissioned missionaries going out to the world. The church came into being, perhaps officially, in Acts 2, as recorded for us, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church. The church then, made up of the 12 disciples, or the 11, plus, of course, Matthias, who was voted in as one of the as the 12th person to replace Judas. And we understand there were at least 120 people in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came upon the church in Acts chapter 2. But prior to that point, Jesus had said to them in Acts 1:8, "You shall be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, but stay in Jerusalem until that Holy Spirit come. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the utmost part of the earth." So, the focus of Christ's ministry to the world was not just Jerusalem, was not just Judea, was not just Galilee, was not just Palestine. It was to the utmost part of the world. Because our God has always had the world on his heart, because he has always sought to redeem people from all nations, when Christ spoke to his disciples, he gave them a commission that involved the whole world. And so when the Holy Spirit came, the disciples, who had become dejected, discouraged, as their master was killed on the cross, and then who were just there in the upper room after he ascended into heaven, suddenly became very bold people. Suddenly Peter could stand up in the crowd and say, "These people you are seeing are not drunk." And suddenly he could proclaim the gospel by the power of the Spirit of God. And thus, the gospel started to spread from Jerusalem and to other parts of Palestine at that time. God sending his messenger by different means. We saw Philip in Samaria, and Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch on the way from Jerusalem. We saw Peter in Caesarea preaching to Cornelius and his family. And you see different events as God began to move people to present the gospel all around. But as a result of the death of Stephen, the Bible tells us that persecution arose. And it was out of that persecution that this church was born. So I call this a church unlike any, that was sent to a world unlike any. The church we're reading about here in Antioch was a church unlike any church at that point. Because in Acts chapter 11, we understood how this church came to be, how it was planted. You see, in Acts chapter 11 from verse 19, the Bible tells us, "So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch." So this is the Antioch we're talking about now. Speaking the word to no one except Jews alone. So you get the picture. There are a few times that God has forced his people to break out of the mold, but up to this point, many of the disciples still thought this message of the kingdom was for the Jews. And they were still only preaching the gospel to the Jews. God took Peter out of his comfort zone to preach to Cornelius, an Italian, army officer. And he actually told him, said, "We Jews are not supposed to be in your house. You need to understand what we believe. We have our theology, and we have our theology straight, and that doesn't include being in the house of Gentiles." You see, there was a conception of God that the disciples, like other Jews, carried at that point. And that theology, or that conception of God, was apparent in the conversation between Jesus and the woman by the well. Remember the story, when Jesus encountered this woman. The woman said, "You Jews said that it's in Jerusalem God should be worshipped. Our father told us it's on this mountain, which is called Mount Gerizim, that the worship should happen." What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem, that those who worship will worship in spirit and in truth." So, Jesus was saying to this woman, "Sorry, you're mistaken. This is not a territorial God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all the nations, the creator of heaven and earth, is not a territorial God. He's not to be worshipped just in Jerusalem or on this mountain. He's to be worshipped in spirit and truth." But it seemed like the disciples didn't get that at this point. They were still preaching, but they were preaching only to the Jews. They had not yet captured God's heart for the world. They had not seen that this Jesus who died and rose again for the whole world. It wasn't just for the Jews. And so they were going around preaching to the Jews. And the Bible tells us here, as they went, spreading out, some of the men of Cyprus in verse 20, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, now get it, these were not Jerusalem missionaries. These were not Jews from Jerusalem or Judea. These were from Cyrene. Now, Cyrene is known to be in North Africa, perhaps part of today's Libya. That's where these men came from. Cyprus is an island, of Greece. So look at the geography of what is happening here. Christ gives his commission to his disciples in Judea. The men of Cyrene and men of Cyprus broke out of the mold and started preaching to the Gentiles. So the Bible tells us in verse 20, "But there were some of the men of Cyprus and Cyrene who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks. To the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord." Now, this is just an amazing event. If you could put yourself in that situation, because here were a group of what I call outsiders, men of Cyprus and Cyrene. They were not apostles. They were not from Jerusalem. They were not from Judea. And they started doing things that people shouldn't do. They started preaching to Gentiles. They started preaching to the Greek people. The non-Jews And of all things, the hand of the Lord was with them. Now that was a complete, out of the box imagination, that the hand of God would be upon people who preach to Gentiles. That just doesn't fit at all. You see, how can the hand of the God of the Jews be upon those who preach to Gentiles? But the Bible tells us that the hand of God was upon them. And so, this church was planted. In fact, it was so unusual that the disciples in Jerusalem had to send Barnabas. Barnabas, you need to go and check out what's going on there. Because this is quite unusual. This is not what we expect. But thank God for Barnabas, the son of encouragement. The Bible said he came and he found the grace of God with them and he rejoiced. In fact, it was so amazing, Barnabas stayed. He never went back to Jerusalem. He stayed in Antioch. And then he went up and found Saul in Tarsus. By this time, Saul had been converted. He found him. He brought him to Antioch. So they went with the church in Antioch when chapter 13 happened. And so this church was, first of all, a diverse church. I put it a commission to his world born in diversity. This commission to go to the world that was given to this church was a commission in diversity. You see, I believe that everything that is written in the Bible was intentional. That nothing in this Bible was written by mistake. The Holy Spirit superintended in the writing of the Word of God so that everything that was written for us. So you see in 1 chapter 13, from verse 1, the Bible tells us that this church now that was born out of the box, a church that was planted by people who are doing all the things that people shouldn't do, preaching to Gentiles, now this church is being commissioned to God's world. Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets, teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius, and Cyrene, of Cyrene, and Manai, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Diversity. Now you ask yourself, why did the Holy Spirit find it necessary to actually mention names of people in the church? Remember, these were not the only people in that church, because in Acts 11, we knew that multitude turned to the Lord. Multitude came to faith. So these were not the only people in that church. Why were these people mentioned? I believe that part of the reason, and I don't know all the reasons God will do it, but I believe part of the reason is for us to see the diversity in this church. First of all, for there were diversities of gifts. There were diversity of ministry gifts. There were teachers and there were prophets and there were diversities of people. There was Barnabas from Jerusalem and there was Simeon who was called Niger. And that word means black. So, I mean, we don't know if he was darker in complexion or black or just his nickname, but we know he was called Simon the Black. So, that was something, there was something about him that made the Holy Spirit identify him as being in that church. And there was Lucius of Cyrene, which means this man came from, at least we know, from Libya. He was in that church. And then there was Manai, who was brought up in royalty with Herod the Tetrarch. And then there was Saul. And there were others too. These were the diversity in the midst of which this commission was given. It was a commission that was also given in worship. It was a time of worship and prayer. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." This was a worshiping church. This was a praying church. And God called them to his world in the midst of worship, in the midst of praying and fasting. It's amazing how little fasting happened today in many of our churches, and especially in this part of the world. I think there's just so much food that it's very hard to actually fast, isn't it? There are places where people have to fast, whether they want it or not, because there's not much food. But perhaps sometimes there's just so much that the burden of self-discipline to turn away from food is so hard that our churches today don't actually think that fasting is an important part of our calling. But when Christ spoke to the crowd, when he was teaching his disciples, in Matthew, I think that was Matthew chapter 8, I believe, he said to them, when you pray, go into your closet and pray in private. I hear that thought all the time. When you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I hear that thought all the time. The third thing he taught in that passage was when you fast. It wasn't if you fast, it's when you fast. So the reality was that it was expected of the church that it will pray, that it will give, that it will fast. But anyway, this is a church that was fasting and ministering to the Lord. And in the midst of that ministry, in the midst of the worship, of ministering to the Lord, of fasting, the Lord commissioned this church to send missionaries to his world. Set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work to which I have called them. Remember, this is a totally outside of the box church. Just think about it. The very first church commissioned missionaries were now being commissioned not by the church in Jerusalem, not by the church in Judea, not by the church in Galilee, not by the church anywhere in Palestine, but by the church in Syria. Because Antioch is in Syria. Could anybody have imagined when Jesus gave the Great Commission that the very first church that we commission missionaries will not be in Jerusalem, will not be in Judea, will be in Syria? But that was the amazing part of what God was doing in this place. Because it's a God with the world on his heart. He called a church out of Syria to commission his very first church commissioned missionaries that were recorded for us in the Word of God. We don't have a lot of time to spend in this passage, but I want you to take note of some of the things that happened here as I wound up. While they were ministering to the Lord, God spoke to them. Then in verse 3, then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And in verse 4, it says, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. This church was obedient to what the Lord had called them to do. They were fasting, they were praying. The Lord said, set apart for me. And they obeyed. They set apart Barnabas and Saul. They commissioned them in the power of Christ. Because the Bible tells us that when they heard what the Lord said, then what did they do? They fasted even more. And then they prayed even more. And then they commissioned them. They set them apart for the work that God had called them to do. It was a commission to make disciples from every tribe, language, people, and nation. Having been commissioned by the church, having been sent forth by the Holy Spirit, Barnabas and Saul stepped out into the world. They stepped out into God's world to make disciples of all nations. This commission was given in a place of worship. Incidentally, the Great Commission was given in a context of worship. Matthew chapter 28, we often read from verse 18, isn't it? Go therefore and make disciples. I want you to take time to read verse 17. Because actually, verse 17 was the context for verse 18 to 20. Verse 17 said that when the disciples came to him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. They worshipped him. It was in the context of worship that he gave them the Great Commission. It was in the context of worship that he called this church to commission missionaries to go to the world. And they didn't think they could do it. The Bible actually says some of them doubted. Some of them doubted. But in spite of their doubt, Jesus said to them, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." Maybe we think, what can we do? We're doing all we can already. We just don't have that much. We're a small church. Well, just think of the church in Antioch. God isn't looking for the church that the world thinks we do it. God is looking for a church with a heart of worship. A church that's willing to simply obey. That's all that God is looking for. It's people that are willing to obey and in worship simply surrender for him to use them as he pleases. That's all God is asking for. This church made an impact on all the world. And I want to ask, what impact will we make as a church? This church has made an impact on the world, the Antioch church. Because out of that commissioning, I don't know if you think about it, that out of that commissioning and the sending off of Paul and Barnabas, out of that commissioning was not so many churches planted that were told about in the book of Acts. You realize that almost two-thirds of the whole of the New Testament came out of that. Think about it. The Bible. Almost two-thirds of the whole of the New Testament came out of that commissioning. Because the book of Luke and Acts is about a third of the whole New Testament, chapter by chapter. The book of Luke and Acts. Luke is the only Gentile writer in the New Testament. He was a companion of Paul. And then think of all the letters of Paul that form a part of the New Testament and see how God has used this church. Not only for what Paul did in his lifetime, but continue to use him even in the church today through the writing of God's word. A simple step of obedience. Even when we feel so little, God can use us to impact his world. And I want to finish with this Livingston's statement, which says, if a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice? When God commissioned his church, they didn't consider it a sacrifice. It was a privilege. And for all of us, it is a privilege to be invited to present his word to his world. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the Antioch church and thank you for this church. Use us as you please, as we worship you and surrender our hearts to you, because the world belongs to you and you have called us to serve that world. We praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen.